B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Rich. That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, at this time of the year, it's just about competing, and especially against a tough team. I mean, they're really good. So
Washington's obviously a great team, and that's what playoff is all about.
You're not going to dominate a team like that. It's going to be back and forth, especially in their building. They were loud tonight, and they got some momentum off of that.
And you're not going to have much, and you have to regroup and adapt and adjust, and that's it, really.
Krejci with a steal, right point, goes across the ice to Grizzlick, across right circle, it's fired, they score! Brad Marchand from the far circle whistles in a one-timer, 39 seconds into overtime to tie the series at one.
We have a plan in place to try to play behind their D.
Back of the net, Samsonov, Sir Smith, wraparound, he scores! Craig Smith, it's a double overtime winner!
You don't expect to get those, but if you keep playing behind their D and force them to break pucks out.
Smith grabs the puck!
That's the best thing about playoffs, that every game is a new game, and that's going to be our focus tomorrow.
David Pastrnak, his first in the series.
We're going to have another meeting, and just looking forward to get ready for the next game.
Pastrnak shoots, he scores! David Pastrnak, his second of the night. And you can hear the crowd here at TD Garden as the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins have pushed the Washington Capitals to the brink of elimination. And the Bruins have a chance to close it out.
Listen, Berge's certainly a guy that, you know, has led this team for a lot of years, and this is his first year with the C on it. So, you know, he wants to put his signature on this club.
High slot, Bergeron shoots, he scores! Patrice Bergeron with a dart, low to the stick side. It's 2-0 Bruins. Bergeron steals. After dropping game one against the Washington Capitals, run the table.
Four seasons in a row, the Bruins decapitate Washington, winning the series in five. Ovechkin is on summer vacation.
Five the Sports Hub. We're Touchin' and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 the Sports Hub. Bob Beer is going to be joining us around 8:20. And Rich, we have something here.
Well, every time I see any kind of thing forwarded to me that says, hey, here's for your armpit stack, I always look at it and say, oh yeah, Florida, 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 Florida. But then it's a little bit too close to home when you get one that's right around our area. And that would be Kingston, New Hampshire, in which they had a situation. And this is happening way too much. Like, it's almost at the point where just the idea of this should be illegal. Like, if anybody even attempts to do this, even at the smallest scale, it should be something that should be outlawed. And that is gender reveal parties. Because they never go well. And not only do they not go well, in many cases, it's usually run by idiots. And people either get injured or houses burn down. In this case, Tannerite, you've heard of this before, the substance, have you not? Tannerite is something that people who use bow and arrows like to put inside of targets, so when they hit them, they'll blow up, because things that blow up look real cool. Okay. And you're supposed to do that, like, the way it's, if you actually use it the way it's properly supposed to be used, you put like a thimbleful inside of, let's say, a can or something, so when you hit it, it goes and it blows up, but nothing too crazy. What people are doing, however, is they are using entire jugs of Tannerite, and they don't realize that that is essentially a mega bomb. You've seen the video. Have you ever seen the video of the guy who wanted to blow up a car, so he put a thing of Tannerite in it, and they threw something at the car, and it ended up like slicing off the dude's leg? Have you seen that?
No, but I'd like to.
Oh, no. No.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing you watch
Send
once.
It.
Yes, violence. I love violence. So apparently,
clean cut, no blood.
A couple of weeks ago,
I like gender reveal parties because I think that we should celebrate more things that people no one cares about, but the people throwing the party. So you find out your friend's pregnant, and if it's the first kid or they've been trying hard, you go, "Oh, that's fantastic!" Great. And then let's have a party when you find out what the kid is, which none of us care about. At all. Like, no one you know cares about what sex the baby is. I mean, you feel legitimately good for someone, the first child.
Mm-hmm.
The second child, then you're like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Because even that's how I felt. I mean, I'm very, very, very blessed to have had my daughter, and I love my daughter dearly, and I'm very glad that we had a daughter. But even like the pressure was off at that point, as far as I was concerned. Like Stephanie got pregnant like 10 seconds after we wanted Zoe. It took like 10 months of her fumbling around to get her pregnant the first time. And then it took forever for Milo to come out of her. Zoe just fell out of her. And then everything was like much easier. But like, can you imagine like, say you're Jewish. So you go, I'm pregnant. And then everyone's supposed to get excited about that. Then you have a gender reveal party. Everyone's supposed to be excited about that. Then you have a baby shower. Everyone's supposed to be excited about that. Mm-hmm. Then you have your bris or your baby naming that everyone's supposed to be excited. So you're four times within a week of the child coming out, from the moment of pregnancy, the moment you're comfortable announcing the pregnancy until the child comes out. So that's about, you announce pregnancy 3 months in, right, generally? So yeah. That's 6 months, four events in 6 months that you're supposed to be so thrilled
with. Too many events. Too many events.
Well, like, but no one cares about the sex of your baby but you. Like, no one cares. No one cares.
We found out the best way possible, and that was on a day that we didn't know we were going to find out. Like, we went in, and we thought it was going to be a couple more weeks, and they were like, oh, there's a bit. You want to know what gender it is?
You care. What? Yeah, you, the parents obviously care. Like, your grandparents, whatever, care. Probably grandparents and parents, and that's literally it. I imagine, I'm an only child, but I would imagine I wouldn't care if my brother and sister are having a male or a female child. It wouldn't matter anything.
Well, it's cool. You find out, hey, nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but more like, yay, you're pregnant. That's great. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if you've been trying hard and like taking fertility drugs and stuff. That's fantastic. You know, oh, you're having twins. Whoopsie daisies. That's going to be hard. Whatever. But the sex of your child is of absolutely no consequence to me. None. And it's, and I'm not, oh, wow, Fred, you cynical dick. None of you care. None of you care.
Mm-hmm.
You pretend to care, but you don't.
The only time I would care is that if it was an excuse to blow stuff up, which apparently happened in New Hampshire. And we're getting people tweeting us right now who said that they lived near this and they know exactly what I'm about to say.
Oh, hell yeah.
So instead of, they get these guys in Kingston, New Hampshire, apparently went to a rock quarry.
Where all good things happen.
Where all kick-ass things happen.
How many exploded street animals are out there? Like frogs and chipmunks.
Just start quarry, that story there.
Yeah, the quarry is where we put the Roman candles in the animals.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said you usually use like a thimbleful to blow something up. These people used 80 pounds.
What?
Of Tannerite.
Well, how would they know? I mean, 80 pounds, if anything.
But in fairness, we were in the quarry.
80 pounds of Tannerite.
Anything goes in the quarry.
And when they blew it up, the shocks were felt 25 miles away. Dan.
It almost registered as on a seismic scale as a small earthquake in the vicinity, in the town. Like, I'm talking about the town, not in just the neighborhood.
Yep.
But in the town around
it. And then for some reason, no one knew the entire live Gonzo Ted Nugent album played. And no one knows where it was from.
I mean, right. So here, Fred, you have right here are some of the samples of the 911 calls that Kingston, New Hampshire received after a gender reveal party that set off technically a bomb that was felt 25 miles away.
Emergency. Yes, and I just heard a very loud explosion near my property. All my pictures have fallen. My property does abut Tormeo Industries, and they do blast, but I don't know if it came from there.
Okay, stay on the line while I transfer to the Kingston Police Department.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Oh, my God, Matt, take some pictures. Take a picture of that. That's definitely from the blast. Oh, my God, my heart is racing.
Sheriff's Office, Sheila. 911 Agent 166. I have a caller on the line calling from Kingston at Fortin. They just heard a loud...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...loud explosion that knocked pictures off the walls. They did say they know there's a business nearby that does blasting. I do have the caller on
Leave
the
it.
Line.
Okay.
Emergency?
Yeah, I just heard an explosion, Kingston, Lampshire. I don't know where it came from, but...
And where on the road is... do you know...
I have no clue. It could be in Galloway's pit. Could be down in Tarmel's pit. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Lots of pits.
Just how many empty Natty Ice beer cans are just laying around in those pits?
Yep. It's a girl.
You were born in the quarry. You're going to die in the quarry.
I mean, by the way, someone's saying that this guy cracked the foundation of a house and there's a huge suit going on right now.
Well, he'll be able to pay every dime of that repair, right? I mean,
all he's going to do is sell his double wide. He'll be just fine.
I mean, this guy obviously is going to, any problem you have, he'll be able to financially rectify. Don't worry. Don't worry your pretty little head about it.
Here's my favorite tweet. It was more. It was over 100 pounds. 80 pounds is being what's reported. Sir, were you there? If so, I need a first-hand account.
Well,
how this all went down.
It went bang. Loud bang.
Okay. It was a humongous explosion, though.
Your emergency?
Everybody on the street just went outside because something just it went boom.
All right, that's someone in Everett right now is saying, like, what, you called the cops?
That's how the street party starts.
Yeah, that's like every 5 minutes.
Everyone's outside.
You hear the big boom, and it's time to bring out the pasta.
Saliva, man. I made stuffed shells.
That's the official kickoff of the Everett porch party season.
Richie, bring out the card table.
That's so funny. Wait, go down the basement, get the emergency pasta. It's a good line. Oh, man. I knew I made those meatballs for a reason. Get them outside.
Hey.
How many children are born after the gender reveal party? Because how many people fell in love in the streets? I bet you 9 months from that day we'll be graced with more children than you could ever know.
Okay.
And everybody's house shook, but we don't see anything wrong.
Sure. Okay. Emergency dispatch. 911 Agent 166. I have a caller on the line reporting that everybody on the street came outside of their house because something shook in the neighborhood. Caller is on the line.
Hi, caller. We have gotten multiple calls about it, and officers are out in the area.
So what happens to these people?
So apparently, someone said the gender reveal was such a big explosion that it broke a water pipe and contaminated the town water for a week.
Again,
but it gave me the best party.
Yeah.
Again, don't worry, your financial.
Oh.
It's all taken care of.
This guy,
don't worry. I'll write a check. It will be all cleared up.
So he said, "What does Tannerite smell like? Could we have accidentally just solved a coffee mystery?"
Good point.
What if it was Tannerite? There was a gender reveal party in the bathroom.
Craig says this gender reveal story is extremely New Hampshire. Sincerely, a lifelong New Hampshire resident.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, this sounds totally like something that would happen in New Hampshire.
Yeah. What did they do it with, Rich? They hit it with an arrow, or they hit
Tannerite.
It with...
Now, I don't know how they exploded it, because usually that's how you trigger it, is you hit it with something. But they
and
said
it just explodes on contact. You don't need like gunpowder in it or like a fuse.
No. The Tannerite is basically it's almost like
once punctured or once hit, once disturbed. Oh, Well, I'd be wanting to carry around 80 pounds of that.
Just put it in the back of the old truck.
Yeah.
We'll get it there in time.
So if this gets disturbed, it explodes. So I'm just going to hold it and put it down gently. Don't drop it or else you'll die. This is going to be a gender reveal.
Is there a video of this anywhere? Because you know that someone had to film it, unless you're just trying to get rid of the evidence.
Well, yeah, that phone probably is melted. Yeah, I mean, they for sure taped it.
Yeah, like how did those guys get injured? Like, how far away were they from this? I need details.
They're at least severe hearing problems.
Well, because, there's no question. Because I told you that video of the guy who shot the car, oh, man, he was probably about 30 yards away?
Yeah, maybe blind. For sure. Yeah. For sure, major hearing problems.
I saw a couple of Ring video, doorbell cameras of the shaking, but I have not seen anything of someone actually at the party, releasing a video of
80 pounds of explosives.
Of Tannerite.
That could knock down... Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, It seems something
it
that could
the
like
the foundation of a house, Fred.
Yeah, it seems like something that could like knock down like a tall building. You know what I'm saying? Like it would implode the building. Boy, is that dumb.
That is.
But in fairness, this guy's going to make it all right. He'll write a check. It will be all good.
So I said, geez, enough with the teasing about the Kingston gender reveal. Just tell if it's going to be a girl or a boy.
Sorry, we buried the lead. Yeah, like what color was supposed to come out of that? Like
blood.
Exactly.
Blood red.
It's blood red. I hope in all seriousness, I'm not going to make a joke. I hope the pregnant woman wasn't anywhere near there.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to joke about it, but I mean, oof. If you were pregnant and 80 pounds of explosives went off, that I don't think that the gyno would suggest that as a good situation. So it kicked.
Best dad ever.
I'm just telling you, if you live by the quarry, you're kind of playing by your own rules. I mean, there's stuff going on in the quarries that many lives lost and created in the quarry. Yeah, all right.
Well, if anyone can find one of the video, I want to see what this looked like. I need to know, because there's a lot of people apparently listening to us who are right around that area who felt the shake.
And after this, we're climbing the water tower.
That's right.
We're going to spray paint our names on the water tower. It's a boy. First we explode, then we create. Destroy, then create. All right, well.
So was it? I was at the golf course across the street when it happened. It shook the whole course. It's like Caddyshack, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ball, like, you
the
know.
The ball went in.
Yeah.
It's the best round ever. All right, Bob Beers is going to join us. You know him from the Bruins telecast. He gets a few days off here to recuperate from the long trip from Washington. We will have him on in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. .com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Your point now. Riley keeps it in. Riley swings to the near circle. Pasternak pull and drag left of the net. Out in front. Shoots. He scores! What a dangle that was from 88. Bruins 1, Caps nothing.
Obviously a lot of emotion, going through. Zendo is a guy that helped me grow up as a person and especially as a how to be a pro. So, it was a little emotional, but, just kind of can't wait to catch up and hope to see him back home at the end of this, And how I said, the emotion was high and can't thank him enough.
.5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That was a good goal, Pasternak.
It was Mr. Pasta.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're very humble.
Thanks.
All right. Do you want to say hello to anyone?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you said that.
Thanks.
Bob Beer is, of course, is the voice of your Boston Celtics, along with Judge Surratt.
Or your Bruins. Boston Bruins.
Bruins. Whatever. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. We just played a Bruin highlight. Boston Bruins. And, of course, he played the game, played for the Bruins, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Bob Beers, hello, sir.
Morning, guys. I'll do a little Celtics talk if you want.
Absolutely.
Max, Max, we can switch off.
I would love that.
Well, I don't know if you could handle it, Bob. The analysis of
I think I could actually.
Yeah, that you could go woo after something good happened. All right, going into the playoffs, if you had your choice of teams that the Bruins were going to play in the first round, out of the three possibilities, where would you have ranked Washington?
Well, entertainment value, I right at the top. Right. I thought, and we kind of talked about it, a couple weeks ago, just saying that, Washington's going to bring it. You know that they're going to be physical. You know it's going to be an entertaining series. I thought the Bruins had a huge advantage in goal, which that kind of played out over the series. But, I thought any of the three teams, whether it was going to be Islanders, Pittsburgh, Washington, it was going to be a different kind of matchup. But I'm not going to say I was hoping for Washington, but I thought that would be the most entertaining. So ended up being a good matchup for the Bruins. They did what they had to do, and we move on.
Okay, so I'm reading people talking about, how the Bruins did what they did, and they talk about Washington playing a man-to-man style of defense and the Bruins playing a more layered approach. Can you kind of explain that to us that are not hockey experts in that fashion? Is that kind of what you saw as well?
Well, I mean, yeah, no question. I mean, there's a few teams that, that play man-to-man. The Bruins have played this kind of, you call it a layered approach, like where, if a guy in the offensive zone kind of comes out a little bit higher, the defense doesn't chase him all the way out there. They hand him off to a winger or to a forward. If he comes down low, the winger hands him off to a defenseman. So you don't chase all over the ice. So, there was a couple games ago where one of the defensemen for the Capitals is way out by the blue line because it's man-on-man. So that goal by Pastrnak, and I think that's what's probably I know Bruce Cassidy talked about it after the game. When I watched that goal, Pastrnak gets the puck, and there's a forward on him, and he makes that nice move, throws the puck between his feet and then attacks the net. And then there's a couple defensemen right by the net, but one of them's not even looking at Pastrnak. He's just facing the guy that he's covering. I hate it. I really do, and I'm a huge fan of Peter Laviolette because I played with him, and I played for him years ago, but I don't like the man-on-man. But hey, it works for some teams, doesn't work for others. It didn't work in that specific goal that Pastrnak scored. But like I said, they finished second in the division this year. They were a pretty good team, so it worked for them during the year. But I didn't like that goal at all. The way it was defended by the Capitals, I thought it could have been defended a lot better.
Well, Bob, it's obviously good news that these guys are going to get to rest for a little bit before the second round. But, the one person we were talking about, the amount of minutes that Charlie McAvoy has been playing has been, staggering when you look at the stat sheet. And obviously it's because, the injuries, but also that's the one guy you can tell that Cassidy trusts. He needs him out there. I'm wondering, even though he's young, are you worried about the amount of time on ice that he's clocking in?
No. I mean, I'm not. I think he's perfectly capable of doing that. It never even entered my mind. I think that, he is, and he relishes it. Like, he likes it. He wants to play a lot. You start getting into these overtime, double overtime games. I mean, that's a little bit different, as the playoffs wear on. So that would be another question. But right now, as it stands, I don't worry about it at all. I think he likes that. The one thing I worry about Charlie, he's so good and he's really elevated his game. sometimes he puts himself like in a position where he can be vulnerable for a hit. And I'm, you know, I think the Capitals were the most physical team he might face. There's, you know, if you look at the Penguins and the Islanders, we're not sure who they're going to play yet, but Islanders have one line that's kind of physical. Other than that, they're, you know, they might throw their weight around, but they're not going to be as physical as the Capitals. And Pittsburgh's not as physical as either one of those teams. So I think that I don't mind it. I think McAvoy likes it. You know, he certainly plays like it. And I love watching him play. I love watching his elevation, the way that he has gone here over the last couple of years and the way that he's elevated his game and played. And he was really good in this series.
A lot of questions about Tuukka Rask before the season, a series started, especially the way Jeremy Swayman played down the stretch. I think all those questions have been answered.
I honestly didn't have any questions. I know other people did, and that's fine. That's good. It's healthy debate. Swayman has certainly, you know, proven that, well, in 10 games, you know, so it's a short sample size that you know, he's ready to, you know, start making that next leap. But Tuukka Rask he's elite. He really is. And, you know, for anybody in Boston to suggest he's not is just crazy. Can he win the big game? You know, I guess that's the next debate, right? And that will be the debate until he does it. But he was so good. He's calming in the net. And for a defenseman or for a player that's on the ice, that means a lot. There's not a lot of fires to put out when he's on, you know, when he's on his game. He makes the saves. A lot of pucks stick to him last night throughout the series. There's not a lot of rebounds. It really has a calming effect, you know, as a player to know that he's there. And it's, you know, I don't know. You guys tell me, you watch the game, you know, when he's out, when some goaltenders, when they're out there, there's a lot of rebounds, there's a lot of like loose pucks around and everybody's, you know, jamming for it. But when he's out there, everything seems to be calm.
No, it's been absolutely ideal. And I think a misconception is that, you know, that fans want him to fail. And that's absolutely not the case. It's just the unknown. And the ideal situation for everyone is that Tuukka Rask plays every game in the playoffs, plays well, and we don't even think about Swayman. It's just the unknown. And you know, he's played well in the playoffs in the past, but, you know, there have been instances in the past as well, and you just hope that everything stays on the level. That's all. That's the only thing.
No, I agree. I mean, if they win the cup in 2019, he was the MVP.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It was one game. The Bruins couldn't score in the first period. They had all kinds of chances. They couldn't score on Bennington in the first period, and St. Louis scores a couple of kind of crazy goals. All of a sudden, the narrative changes. So, look, he's really good, and, you know, we're fortunate to have him, and hopefully that continues, and he continues, because he was really good in this series. He was really good last night.
No question about it, and it would be fantastic if he keeps that up. All right, Tenorti played last night. Miller, again, is just, he's hard luck for Miller. The only concern that I would have, I guess, is what's your defensive situation? If Miller can't go and Tenorti is playing, you're running out of defensemen, correct? I mean, there's already injuries at the position. Where do they stand now?
Well, we don't know. Zboril's injury, he played a lot this year. We don't know Lauzon's extent, and he started the playoffs, so it's kind of hard to tell, to be honest with you. We're not around the team as much right now, so
sure.
Even if we were, they wouldn't tell you about injuries in the playoffs. So
no. I'm just wondering if you, because, you know, you're looking at this, and they played so well, and I mean, Friday night, that was a dominating performance, and last night, even when they're getting run all over the ice, Bergeron's able to, you know, break their backs. It's just if I was looking at this, and I was looking at one thing, I'm just like, all right, well, I was just wondering if you look at that, and you're like, all right, like, here's hoping they don't, you know, get into a point where they're reaching for defensemen.
Well, I mean, they used, what, 12 or 13 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
yeah, exactly.
At least 12. I mean, so, you know, they've had to do that already. That's the playoffs. That's what it is. Now they have a little time to kind of rest and get ready for the next one. And like I said, I don't think those two teams that they would face, whether it's Pittsburgh or the Islanders, are teams that are going to run you through the glass, right? So, you know, I said one line for the Islanders, but not really for the Penguins. They have a couple guys here and there, but it's not like it's going to be an overly physical series that way.
Okay.
For the defensemen, I mean. So, you know, we'll see, you know, reevaluate where the defensemen are in terms of health and, you know, who's able to come back and who's able to play. And hopefully, you know, they got through the whole series, right, with only missing one guy, right? And that was Kevin Miller towards the end. Mm-hmm. So they did a pretty good job of, you know, absorbing what the Capitals had, and they're ready to go.
What do you think of Chara's future? How do you think he played in the series?
Well, you know, I thought that the Bruins' plan for Chara was really strong. If you come back, we're not going to play every game. You know, we're going to keep you fresh for the playoffs. The Capitals promised him every game. He missed one game towards the end. He's 44 years old. It's the reality of it, and we saw that with the Bruins. He was a fantastic Bruin. He brought the cup to Boston. He was a great captain. He's a great leader, and he should be applauded for everything he did for the Bruins. I thought if he had stayed with the Bruins and played, you know, 30 to 40 games and be fresh for the playoffs, yeah, I'm ready for that. I would have taken that. He didn't want that. He wanted to go to Washington. He wanted to play every game. And I think that he was good, but he wasn't, you could try to take advantage when he was on the ice because, you know, it's the reality of it. There's no other way to put it. You know, I hate to say it, right? But
sure.
You play every game and you get tired and now you go into a playoffs and you're playing every other day. It's hard to keep up that pace.
Yeah, it is interesting and that he decided to stick around the way that he did. All right, Bob Beers, a great job. Honestly, great calls. Fortunately, you had early starts and oh boy, am I in my car. So I heard a lot of your guys' pre-games. Yep. I heard a lot of your guys' calls, and you know, great job as always, and we do appreciate it and look forward to hearing you as this series goes on. Next series starts and goes on.
I appreciate it, guys. Look forward to the next one.
All right, see you.
Appreciate
it. Thank you. The thing I'm saying about defensemen, who did Cassidy announce was out for the season yesterday? Defenseman.
Out for the season?
Yes, yes. He said someone's not coming back.
Is it Zboril?
No. A listener will know.
Lauzon took a shot off the hand, and Clifton stepped in, no problem, after game one.
Clifton's not coming back.
I think you mean Lauzon.
Oh, maybe Lauzon. I can't remember.
Lauzon's the one who got injured. Yeah,
Lauzon's the one that got
hurt.
He
said, to my knowledge, and I hope I'm not screwing this all up, because this is all, again, I'm in the car constantly. I was listening, and Ty Anderson was on. He did a good job. And they were talking about how Cassidy had spoken earlier in the day and that Miller was not going to play. Tenorti was coming in from him, and he had already announced that someone was out for this, that a defenseman was out for the rest of the season. He's not coming back. And if we don't have that information, maybe I'm an idiot. But you have to understand.
Well, he's definitely hurt. So
I'm putting 500 miles on my car every weekend. So I just hope you know that I'm constantly driving and at the same time looking at Google Maps and at the same time doing everything else.
Yep.
But if anyone has that information, or maybe I hallucinated it.
Could it have been Stephen Kampfer?
Kampfer, maybe. Maybe that's who it was. So, whatever. I just, when you're playing Tenorti, I just was questioning if they were getting a little short on defensemen. Maybe I was wrong, but that will not be the first nor the last time. But thank you for Bob Beers for coming on. We'll be back here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Biggest moment of a legendary career. Phil defeats Father Time.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I heard the golf show with Hardy.
You just listen to the station nonstop on the weekend.
He's a P1. Right. Check him out.
Yeah, I mean, what else am I going to listen to?
Listen to that Breakfast with the Beatles that they put on at 5 a.m. Remember that? And with Chachi, they kept pushing it back.
That prick
program director.
That prick program director, Thomas. You don't know his left from his right.
What time is the golf show on, Fred?
It is on at 7 o'clock in the morning. I believe it's on from 7 to 8, and then the Bankroll Boys are on from 8 to... No, on...
Different days.
Different day. The golf show's on Sunday.
Yes. Got bumped from... It used to be on Saturday.
Is it from 7 to 8 or 8 to 9?
You're asking me?
It's one of the two.
It's 7 to 8. I wouldn't listen to that.
Yes, that's right.
Do we still have a public service show that comes on at 4 in the morning on Sundays?
Matt Schaefer Extravaganza.
Tomatoes.
Jeez.
Tomatoes. Yeah, because I remember it was weird. Because whenever we used to travel out of town after a Sunday night show, when my band would come rolling into town like around 4 in the morning, there is an hour on... public radio. I'm talking all the stations where there's no music, there's no talk. It's all public service, like required radio.
Well, the WFAN
PSAs. It's all hour-long PSAs that every station has to do, and they try to choose what is the least listened to hour on the radio, and they go like 5 a.m. On Sunday.
You don't know how fortunate you are here, because a lot of stations, too, especially sports stations, have paid hours that people pay to do it. And by the way, meet one of those people that thinks they really have a show that by the hour on a Sunday morning. Oh, I know a guy. Oh, he talks to me like we are equals. Like we're doing the same thing. Like, he's on... What's the Howie Carr station?
I don't know. WRKO.
Yeah. I think he's on WRKO or something, like at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. He buys an hour and he talks to me like it's talk shop. WFAN is garbage. And then, because I was like right before the draft, I wanted to hear him talk about the Jets. And I understand that shows aren't going to always talk about what you want. That's fine. But they do something at like 10 in the morning called Hi, My Name is Craig, which is a gambling addiction show, which is on...
Hosted by Craig Carton?
Yeah, which is on like at 10 in the morning. And you're like, come on! Like, bury this at 3 in the morning. Like, what are you doing?
Tomatoes.
Does he rather have that?
Yeah. Tomatoes.
Well, that was fantastic. That guy was the greatest.
Let's talk about cheese.
Let's talk about cheese.
That was so great. I hope we didn't end it.
Is he still doing it? No, he's not doing it anymore.
No, and I hope it wasn't our discussion of it that ended it.
Well, I'm sure it was a
high-paying
gig.
He left in protest because we were talking about his program?
No, yeah. I don't... maybe that was the case. All I know is that, I mean, it was very lighthearted.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And with all due respect, you're something of a cheese whiz.
Yeah, it was fun. They had fun.
Tomatoes.
So anyway, I heard Hardy, who lives in Canton, and we were playing in Canton, and boy, they had a 1920s baseball coach. All right, let's snap.
That's awesome.
Yeah, shut up. Shut your mouth.
Old-timey guy.
Yeah, old-timey guy. Just shut up. Stop working the umps, too, you prick. And anyway, Bruce Koepka, apparently,
Brooks,
whatever his name is, he's not Mickelson or Tiger Woods.
Got it.
Apparently, he's real good at golf and everything.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, he's more successful than Phil Mickelson. If you go by majors, he's 20 years younger than Phil Mickelson.
His trajectory is one that will end up being greater if he continues.
Yeah, right.
On that
like
path.
It's, for instance, yes. If he would have won yesterday, like he would have been right there with Mickelson. Right, that was Mickelson sixth, and Koepka's got four.
I got to double check.
All right, you're not on top of anything.
My numbers.
Today.
Here.
You didn't know Steve Camphrey.
No,
you don't got this.
I did not know. Let's see. Three. I think he's got four.
Koepka
has, yes.
Has four, and that was Mickelson six.
Six, yes.
Yeah, so, right. So they would have been tied, my point. So this Koepka, he's overlooked. Well, mm-hmm. The only thing I watched yesterday was I happened to turn it on right when Mickelson was walking up to the 18th green, and Jim Nance did not like that. He did not like, he had even said he thinks they lost control of the crowd. Which I was just like, storm the green.
It was awesome.
Please storm the green.
If you don't know what Fred's talking about, there was this like herd of people following Phil Mickelson. And when you say that there was a hint of something could go wrong, you're not exaggerating.
Oh, no, no, no.
It looked like people could at any moment start tripping over each other and maybe even fall into Phil Mickelson.
And so they have these volunteers that are these ancient dudes in these striped polos, and they
couldn't stop anyone.
And if the crowd wanted to, they could have done whatever they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was not obviously hoping anyone got hurt, but I was like, please, let's get this going.
Sure.
Storm the effing green.
I want you guys running through sand traps.
Like, pick up the balls. Like, pick up the ball. Like, put it in your pocket and run.
Fighting each other. Like, actually throwing punches to get a better spot.
All I wanted was them to rush the green before Phil could have put it out. That's all I wanted.
God, that sport just needs stars so bad.
Yeah.
It's craving stars. Look what happened, as they said, when one of the two superstars of the sport actually is going to win something. Something, that's what happens.
And Mickelson's no great shakes. And again, Mickelson, Rich and I were talking about this very early in the show, looks good. In fact, if you watch the Tiger Woods documentary, Tiger's mom, it would insult him, Mickelson, constantly because she thought he was better than Tiger, but wasted it all away by being a big fatso. So by fatso, I mean like a normal looking guy. But Rich, Bruce Koepka.
Brooks
Koepka. Who's named Brooks? His name is Brooks.
The guy who hung himself in the Shawshank Redemption. Oh.
Was he trying to?
Brooks was here.
Was he trying to get a little excitement in his day? Or
no,
was he trying to kill himself?
No,
it was not that type of situation. It was I can't function out of jail, so I am going to hang myself.
Oh,
situation.
It wasn't an autoerotic asphyxiation.
No,
okay.
That was not. He was like 90.
I've only saw that movie once. I liked it, but I don't think I need to see it again. All right, so here is Koepka bitching about. By the way, he's down two strokes. Mickelson's within, 6 feet of the hole. So, I mean, this is
the tournament was over.
The tournament was over.
Yes, it was over.
So here is Koepka talking.
Yeah, it would have been cool if I didn't have a knee injury and got dinged a few times in the knee in that crowd because no one really gave a personally. But if I was fine, yeah, it would have been cool. It's cool for Phil. But getting dinged a few times isn't exactly my idea of fun. Disappointed.
Oh, I love it. Oh,
what happened? What, you dinged your knee? What are you? What the hell are you talking about?
He's saying that the crowd was out of control.
The crowd bumped into him. As well.
I know. I understand that, but he just walked 18 holes four times and played in a professional tournament. And by the way, hit 4 hours of balls before every round. The crowd dinged your knee. By the way, I'm giving you credit for actually being an athlete because you probably hit, what, John? How many balls do you think they hit before the round?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
So you hit 1,000 balls over 4 days, and you walked the 5-mile, 6-mile course four times, and you're going to tell me the crowd dinged your knee? Get out of here.
Oh, I love that because you know how much that raises like the attention of the PGA. They're going to freak out, which means...
Oh, it's get more fat old dudes in striped shirts to try to hold the crowd back? That'd be like me trying to hold the crowd back. You guys, if you were at that tournament, you had the power to say no. You had the power to say no with really nothing anyone mm-hmm. could do about it. This ain't storming the Capitol. This is... you had the power to go no and just walk right through that dumb rope and get on that green and party like there's no tomorrow. Just dance around and pick up the ball and start picking up the turf. It should have been like when the Tigers won the 84 World Series.
Flipping over cards in the parking lot?
Nah.
Light them on fire?
Nah. No one gets hurt. No one's personal property is damaged. Oh. Just you're picking up sod from the green.
Like honestly, when's the last time something at a golf tournament felt that it could potentially get dangerous?
Oh, it felt like a Slayer show. It felt like you were on the verge of disaster.
It was awesome.
Yes, it was awesome.
And you know what? And I guarantee you there's it's probably 80% people who will never admit it who work at the PGA going, that was great. And it's 20% old farts who are listening to Brooks Koepka. You know, you got me calling him Bruce. And they're freaking out. So this is great for the PGA.
You have it reversed. The PGA is all old idiots. Listen to the guy from the Masters speak. He honestly thinks he's somebody.
That's a decent point.
He weighs in on social affairs.
Great point. Someone says the PGA has too many hardos, similar to baseball players. That is true.
Baseball players are kind of fun. It's
totally baseball players are kind of moving off that.
They might be the least fun of all of the athletes. Like baseball players might have the least amount of personality of almost all the major sports.
That's a very likable Cardinal team.
There are different guys who are a little nuts now. I agree. Baseball.
Yeah, we have to break. All right, we'll be right back with Chris Forsberg talk about the Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.